From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Elizabeth Edwards, wife of former presidential candidate John Edwards, has lost her battle with breast cancer. A family friend reporting Edwards died today in North Carolina, surrounded by loved ones. Edwards, who'd recently been told by her doctors that further cancer treatment would be unproductive, in a 2009 interview with NPR's All Things Considered, acknowledged the challenge posed by her medical condition, but said she'd also come to accept it.
I think that resilience is accepting your new reality. Even if it's less good than the one you had, the reality that you liked before.
In a statement today, President Obama said he and First Lady Michelle Obama were saddened to learn of Edwards' death. Edwards' marriage to John Edwards fell apart over revelations of infidelity in a child born outside the couple's marriage. Elizabeth Edwards was 61. The Obama administration is trying to win congressional backing for a tax deal that would extend lower tax rates for all Americans next year, including the wealthy. NPR Scott Horsley reports the plan faces opposition from some of the president's fellow Democrats.
In a hastily called news conference, President Obama defended the tax deal, saying without it, ordinary Americans risk having their taxes go up next month. The president rejected Democratic complaints that he was too quick to compromise with congressional Republicans. He promised to keep making the case against tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans over the next 2 years.
To my Democratic friends, what I'd suggest is let's make sure that we understand this is a long game. This is not a short game.
Mr. Obama also touted the economic benefits of other parts of the package, including a cut in payroll taxes and an extension of unemployment benefits. Scott Horsley, NPR News. The White House.
Labor Department's look at employment trends shows how the job numbers tally up at the state level. Danielle Carson reports it shows a mix of gains and setbacks in October.
The unemployment rate fell in 200 of the nation's largest cities. Rockford, Illinois, Toledo, and Sandusky, Ohio, and Bloomington, Indiana posted the biggest monthly drops. But metropolitan areas in California and Michigan are still getting hammered. Christine Owens heads the National Employment Law Project.
Virtually every city that's listed in the state of Michigan has an unemployment rate above 10%. So while that's an improvement, it's still a serious problem.
Cities in North and South Dakota posted the lowest jobless rates, between 2% and 3%. But Owens cautions that lower unemployment numbers can't necessarily be taken at face value. The jobless rate can go down if more people are dropping out of the labor market, not because they found jobs. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
House Republican lawmakers now say they're hoping to pass long-delayed free trade agreements with South Korea, Colombia, and Panama during the first 6 months of next year. A deal struck last year to resolve U.S. auto industry concerns about South Korean imports is being viewed as a sign the White House is willing to devote more energy toward trade concerns. A mixed close today on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average giving up some of the earlier gains, with the Dow ending the session down 3 points to close at 11,359. This is NPR. The Obama administration says it is planning to abandon plans to try and convince Israel to slow its West Bank settlement construction. That's according to two people familiar with the discussions. Direct peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians have been on hold for some 10 months now, since an Israeli freeze on settlement construction expired at the end of September. Palestinians had refused to return to the negotiations until a new slowdown was put in effect. The U.S. had been offering Israel a series of incentives in exchange, but said it's now determined that's not the best way to start stalled negotiations. American students are still trailing their peers in other nations, ranked somewhere in the middle. In international tests, the U.S. showed improvements in reading and science, but came in 25th in math. NPR's Larry Abramson has this recap.
The U.S. ranked 17th in science scores in the so-called PISA tests administered by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. That's an improvement over scores in 2006, the last time the test was given, but it only makes the U.S. an average performer in science among the 34 OECD nations. In math, the U.S. continues to score below average. The tests show that American student scores are strongly connected to their parents' education and professional status. This year's test focused on reading. South Korea, Finland, and Canada got the highest reading scores. The province of Shanghai, China, took the test for the first time and scored higher in reading, math, and science than any single country. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.
On the 69th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, survivors today heard reassurances their sacrifice will be remembered. The Pearl Harbor attack occurred December 7, 1941. Survivors took a boat out to the memorial that sits atop the sunken battleship USS Arizona. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.